Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to all my fans and listeners on the World Wide Web. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am Don S. McClure, and I want you to be, oh Lord, I can't believe I messed up that script. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation. If you'd like to call me, you can reach me at 818-691-7395. That number to call is 818-691-7395 if you want to reach me, or you can IM me at McClure.S@gmail.com. And yes, we've changed our IM. And if you would like to email me, you can reach me at McClure.S@gmail.com. So now I'm using the same Gmail and the same IM, and it's going to be fascinating. And tonight, our show topic, living in the circle of productivity. I'm more than sure that some of you had a chance to check out the blog during the week, and it stated that living in the circle of productivity can become the natural way you see your life on a daily basis. The rules for gaining such mental thoughts, it's very simple. It does, however, start with a mental chart of where you are in life and the road to the future you want to travel. And we're going to talk about your dreams, how they play a role in your decisions. So I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy, again, this one-hour presentation. And like I said, if you want to reach me, you can call me at 818-691-7395. That will be the number that you could call in. And I remember last week, somebody had asked me, one of my fans asked me, how did I get ready for my shows? And I told him I worked out at the health club real strong and fit so that I could get that six-pack. And, yes, I'm still working out, doing 2 miles a day, and I'm going to be buff and strong for the summer. So letting my fans know that, yes, I'm going to be in their cities and I'm going to have muscles of steel. But anyway, hey, we got a great show for you tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to get ready for my show. And I shall be right back after these special PSAs. And my band is going to take us off for a quick break. They're going to play my new theme song that I work out with, Rocky. So I'll be right back.
Was discovered by a music industry insider while pumping gas at a service station.
odds of her getting signed and spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of this former church choir singer going on to sell 40 million records? 1 in 15 million. The odds of the same woman winning 6 Grammy Awards and starring in 2 Broadway plays? 1 in 75 million. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am Don S. McClure. Now, tonight's show topic, we already explained to you that after we came back from the quick break, we were going to talk about living in the circle of productivity. And before we do that, I always go to my emails and my fan comments, and I want to send some shouts out to my brother Roland, who's in Chicago, who works at Northwest Memorial Hospital. He's been there a length of time, and he now has a copy of Santa Claus versus the Aliens, A Christmas Wish, and he's going to read it. He says his wife is already enjoying my book. And happy birthday to my sister, Yolanda. She also has a copy of my new book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens, and I think that's great. And to Sharon Lucas in Washington, she has a copy. And to all the Lucases in the Washington area that have copies, I want to thank them for their purchase. And to my friend Sharon in Dallas, she's my co-engineer. And to Andrea Lucas, she's my other co-engineer and supporter. And I want to send a shout-out to my fans and family and friends and those who enjoy my Rocky workout. That is just something else. People don't believe that I actually work out at the health club while I'm playing Rocky, but I do. But anyway, like I say, we're talking about tonight living in the circle of productivity. Now, we always do our talk show information in what we call points. And tonight we're going to do, I think, 8 points is what my producers have told me. No, it's 7. So we're going to do 7 points. And I want you to get a pen and think about some of the things we're talking about. Point 1 we're going to cover is your mental chart. Where are you in your life's journey right now? Now, when I say that, in your life's journey, in your mental chart, meaning that your mind keeps a record of everything that you do and want to do, and it plays out in conscious and subconscious thought, which is why later on we're going to be talking about what your dreams do. But your desires, your hopes, your wishes, your wants, your feelings are all embedded in your mind, and they surface between your conscious and subconscious thought. So what I thought about telling people to say is living in a circle of productivity, because it's at those 2 points that you decide on the decisions of your day and tomorrow and next week and next year or even in the next 15 minutes. So if you're living in a mental chart between conscious and subconscious thought, you're going to make some decisions, and they're going to be based on what you feel at that minute. Now, your subconscious thoughts, of course, they come to play when you're asleep, you're dreaming, and they come about and they bring you the ideas and things that you thought of during the day or recently before you go to bed, or even those hidden thoughts that you had kind of tucked away, and all of a sudden they appear in your dreams. Of course, your conscious thoughts are the ones that are closely related to walking down the street, doing some things, you try to stay alert. But to me, your subconscious also plays a great role during the daytime period that you're making your conscious thoughts. To me, it's a battle between both of those thought patterns. Now, why do I say that? Because 1 minute you're sitting at your desk, you're working on a conscious thought about what you need to be doing, whether it's writing a proposal or writing that new book or the song or whatever it is that you're doing. That subconscious thought comes to play that helps you guide that conscious thought. Now, that's the way that I see it, because all of a sudden you'll say, man, I have a feeling, I got an idea and something's nagging at me. To me, that's that subconscious thought that's trying to come alive in your mind. So when you're thinking about these things, you basically have a chance to decide on which ones you're really going to pay attention to. And I've looked at some reports on dreams and ideas, and they say that you need to immediately, if you can, write your thought pattern down and try to memorize the dream or bring back the thought pattern that you had so that you could kind of talk about it and see what was in the dream. Now, we also know that a lot of people say, well, I can't really remember the dream. And unless it's a reoccurring dream, that actually has a whole together different set of rules than a dream that you have from just something that you thought about. So we're going to talk about the differences in that. But to me, that battle between conscious and subconscious continues on a daily basis all day, not just when you're asleep. Now, that's just how I see it. But we want to know what you think if you're living in the circle of productivity. Productivity is your daily activities of what you want to do with your life that day. That's living in the circle of productivity. So if you don't do anything at all, then that's what we call non-productive. So you can't be in the productive circle. But if you've made some conscious decisions on finance, relationships, things that you want to do, to me that's living in the circle of productivity because you're going to get those things done. And again, the word procrastination plays a great role in the circle that you're living in productivity. Because, of course, if you keep putting things off, no matter what they are, health issues or whatever, you're not going to get the full value of living in a circle of productivity, because it's just not going to happen for you. So we want to take a look at that. What dreams and desires do you have was our second point. Only you know, and after looking again at some research, the bottom line to dreams or desires doesn't lie with anybody else. It's actually your decisions, your thoughts, your feelings that you need to guide, even your dreams. Nobody can interpret your dreams better than you can. Not anybody that does tea leaves or whatever, or cards or mystic readers. Only you know the keys to what you're dreaming about. And once you can kind of see your dreams a little bit clearer, you can actually decide on what it's trying to tell you, or you'll get a what we call an 80% idea. You may not be 100%. But you will have the ideas of what it is you're dreaming about and why that dream is playing such a role. I've heard people say constantly that their dreams are like premonitions. They think that when they dream of bugs or whatever's going on, or money or cars, it means that something's going to happen in their family, something's going to happen down the road for them. Sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's going to be bad. Some people say when they dream of rain and flowers, they know that there's something wrong with a family member. A lot of that is what we call gut instinct. But it's not really what your dreams are trying to tell you. It's these thoughts that you have inside. Your dreams are the window that's playing out from your thought patterns, conscious and subconscious. And the colors play a great role in what you're dreaming about, or whether you dream in black and white. But again, living in that chart of productivity means that you want to outline what it is you do in the morning. Let's say, for instance, I usually wake up in the morning and I just have to have a cup of coffee after I've taken my shower and gotten ready for my daily events of what I'm going to do on the computer, but I've already thought those out. And the amazing part is I was having some dreams the other day, and it was concerning just some real vivid images of my radio show, the talk shows that I do. So evidently that was deeply on my mind, and why it had became so prominent was because I was loading the new PSAs that you heard. One was from Toni Braxton on autism, and then I've loaded some new ones that I think are really great, and I think you're going to enjoy those also. But the reason why the dream was so vivid is because it was about 1 o'clock in the morning when I finished, and then I started thinking about how I wanted to change, because I had told my fans and my audience and my producers that I was going to change my PSAs up a little bit and get some new ones in. And yesterday was a real workload for me, so I had to do that, and then wanted to make sure that my brother and my sister and everybody got the book. So the whole production thing was on my mind. Now, did my subconscious thought after I went to sleep play a role in my thinking or in my dreams? I would have to say yes, because it was heavy on my mind. Now, it doesn't mean that the show was going to be bad or Friday the 13th. Actually, I hadn't even thought about that, too. One of my co-producers said, hey, do you know it's Friday the 13th? I said, actually, I don't believe in black cats and all that stuff. And I hadn't even looked at the date. And today is Friday the 13th. And whether I'm superstitious, I doubt it. I think that you control your own journey. But it was just funny to me because they brought up today's Friday the 13th, and it wasn't even in my dream. My dream was basically about the radio show I'm doing. So that just kind of gives you an idea that your thoughts before you go to sleep, sometimes it's what you ate. You might have nightmares or just can't sleep well. I try to drink a calming cup of tea before I go to sleep. Sometimes I have a glass of really nice wine, and I'll have that, and that'll be really good to enjoy. But I think the most important part is understanding your dreams once you wake up and try to remember what you were thinking about before you went to sleep. And maybe that might have triggered your dreams, or you're just in an uncomfortable state because your subconscious mind is bringing up some of the thoughts of things that you were kind of worried about. And you're trying to find that circle of productivity to come up with some really great answers for the things that you have heavily on your mind before you go to sleep. So that's the things that we were talking about today, living in the circle of productivity. And I think that everybody has a chance to do the productive circle if they decide that what I'm drinking in the morning may have too much caffeine in it, or I'm drinking something in the morning that gives me that pickup. And I like going by the gas station in the morning, getting that cup of coffee and interfacing with the different people that are there. Because I get a chance when I was in Memphis to go by these gas stations and talk to a lot of the police officers and the actual staff that worked at the gas station, and we would trade ideas and I'd tell them about the things I was doing. So that productivity stage, I was looking for new ideas also to help with some of the writing that I'm doing. And that walk in the morning was a nice brisk walk. It wasn't as cold as it is in Chicago or some of the other cities I've been in, but that nice brisk walk in the morning kind of opened up the lungs. I got a chance to get some exercise, and I also got a chance to get the cup of coffee that I wanted. So that, to me, was living in the circle of productivity because I achieved three things at the same time. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and, of course, I am Don S. McClure, and if you want to call, you can reach me at 818-691-7395. I want you to get those ink pens and sit around and write some notes down, and we're also going to read a couple of more emails while we're doing the show. But this is my 28th show, and I'm enjoying being on the air, and we're going to also add some other shows. I'm going to be doing some relationship shows coming up. So right now we're going to take a quick break, give you a chance to get a little breather in, get your pens and pencils ready, or write down a few notes, and we're going to be right back after this PSA.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow. I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
Be your best friend for life.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I thought that was such a cute PSA. You know, I write children's stories, so, of course, I like the voices in that, and I've been fooling around with some voices all day from my children's books. And just looking at the, again, we're talking about the circle of productivity. There was a Facebook note, excuse me, on my page about LaBonna Children's Hospital, and it was really, really a nice clip. They had a rap singer, and I posted it on my Facebook. And the whole hospital staff, or from what they showed, was all involved in this rap song. And it was really nice. I played it for some friends of mine, and they laughed, and I laughed. And I mean, whoever put that together was really creative. And it got me to thinking that I had already planned on doing some things with Labana Hospital for children. And then I just said, well, you know what, I'm going to really, really think about doing some more things. And as I said, this year I'm going to be visiting children's hospitals, reading my children's story, and also donating a couple of books to the children's hospitals, especially at the cancer patient hospitals for children and things like that. So I just enjoyed that little clip that a young lady named Gail Rose, who's really big in Memphis, she posted it, and then I took a look at it and showed it to some friends of mine. So it got me to thinking, like, hey, I'm going to try to get in touch with other hospitals for children across the country and see if I can get in and visit with the children and bring them some what we call productivity, some happy thoughts, because the book does have a lot of good moral value in it. But again, we're talking about that living in a circle of productivity. I would take that information that I got off Facebook and turn that into something very positive in my life, which means that now I'm thinking about, when can I get to that area? What can I do? How far can I stretch myself during the month? Because I have to be in Memphis during October 6th. I'm doing a book signing and a book conference, let's say, for the public library there. I'm going to display all 6 or 8 of my books, and there's going to be other writers there that I can intermingle with and at the same time get a lot of promotion. And they're asking writers who lived in Memphis or what they consider local to come out and share their books and their knowledge with different people. So October 6th, I'm going to be there. Well, at the same time, I'll probably schedule something that I can visit Labana's Hospital, which means that before October 6th, I'll probably be in the city of Memphis, and I'll visit those hospitals and try to share some joy and stuff. So when you say living in the circle of positivity or productivity, then it's like deciding on what kind of things you're going to do to make your life better, whether that's reaching out to some family members or, like I said again, just cleaning up your apartment, your house, or getting rid of some things for the shelters that people may need. A lot of times it's what we call spring cleaning is going to be coming up. And you might want to go through your wardrobe of things and say, you know what, I can donate some of these things to other people so we don't have to keep this closet full of old clothes or old shoes or old hats. So when we say living in the circle of productivity, that to me means once you wake up in the morning and you thank God for that opening up your eyes, you look at some things in your life and say, okay, productivity, what is it that I need to be doing? What is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to develop? What is it that I need to add to my life? And once you can do that, that's what starts your circle. And living in the circle of productivity means that once you open your eyes and you're ready to take on the challenges of the day, that's living in a circle of productivity, because you're going to have the good and bad inside that circle. You're going to have some things you didn't finish, some things you did, some things you want to get rid of, some people that you don't want to talk to anymore on Facebook, or just being out there. I know that a lot of former clients or clients who write me and say, how do I do this, how do I do that? I say, well, the circle of productivity now means for them to get a better handle on what it is they're planning on doing with their projects so that they could share it a lot better with people. But when we're talking about living in a circle of productivity, let's say your whole 8-hour day is set. You say to yourself, I'm independently employed, so I'm going to start my day at 9, and I'm going to cut my whole situation off at 5:30, which means that I shut the office down at 5, clean up the computer, get on out of there, just like I would do a job, just like I would do a job for anybody else. That's going to give you the time in the evening to kind of get home, relax, do what you want to do, watch some TV, talk to some friends, go out to dinner. But living in that circle of productivity means that I'm going to get done at least 80% of the stuff I need to do during the course of a day. And then that way I have some free time for myself so I don't burn myself out. And then sometimes we know that you can't always just cut your day off. Depends on the job you have. But you need to find those levels or those moments that you can say, okay, this is my work time. I'm not going to become a workaholic. I'm not going to work all night long. I'm going to play me some video games or something, but I'm going to get these things together. Now, point number three was the maze of energy from productivity. Now, productivity's energy level, which also means when you wake up in the morning, whether you need those super drinks that help you start your day or energizer, or maybe you don't want to eat as heavily, so you get that yogurt or whatever it is that helps you to balance your energy level, because you're going to need some energy to feel like you can be productive. They go hand in hand together. So when you do that, you're guiding your body and your mind to say, okay, look, I've had a good breakfast, whatever it is. I know for me it's grapefruit in the morning. I just love grapefruits in Florida. Oh, they were just so delicious. And I found some really good ones in Washington, as a matter of fact. So, now, Chicago grapefruits, they were off and on. Sometimes they'd be really good. I won't tell you what store I got them from, but sometimes they would be okay. But those grapefruits that I got every morning in Las Vegas, when I lived there for a year, they were phenomenal. And like I said, lately I've been having grapefruits while I'm in Washington, and they were really good. Now, I didn't do a lot of the grapefruit in Alabama when I was there. I think I just got up and did the basic coffee and had some great breakfasts as far as bacon and eggs and sausage and stuff, kind of that southern breakfast. But that energy level that you have to have when you get up in the morning will let you know whether or not you're feeling really good and you're up for today. And if you notice yourself dragging, then you know there's something missing. Either you stayed up too late, or your body's telling you you need more rest, or there's something going on with you that's just not quite right. So you can't have a real productive day because you're really not feeling well. So that's your body and your mind telling you that something's amiss there. So when we talk about living in a circle of productivity, that circle also includes your feelings. So if you take note of that, you'll say, I'm just not feeling myself today. Now you can kind of push yourself and you can keep working and say, well, I'm just going to work through it. But if you notice that it's still not really going away and you're not feeling real good, the best angle that you can do for productivity is to take yourself out of the system for the day. Just say, you know what, I'm going to sign off. I'm just not going to do much. I'm going to go home and get some rest, or I'm going to tell my boss, look, I'm just not feeling well. I need to take an hour or so extra for lunch, or maybe I need to leave early. So living in a circle of productivity means actually analyzing how you feel in the morning when you wake up and what you think you need to do or how far you need to push your body. So those were the things that we were talking about, living in a circle of productivity. And tonight you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and you're enjoying that 1 hour, I hope, that we talk about a lot of good things. And we are 34 minutes, actually 30 minutes into the show. My engineer clock is wrong. It's been running kind of behind, but I think I'm going to have them fix that. And I'm looking at my producers now like, hey, you need to fix this clock because you got my time screwed up. But I think when we talk about these things, they're mainly food for thought. Doesn't mean you have to go 100% by Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil or even Dr. Don S. McClure. I'd like the sound of that. Not that we're all correct on 100%. But we're out there trying to give you food for thought so that you could get one of those moments. And like I say, when I play my Rocky music, and that was just a joke, I think that gives me the energy. Music gives me a lot of energy. So I always feel like that's my calming point, that's my energy point, and I rely on my music to kind of get me going in a lot of different things. So when you're living in the circle of productivity, you find out the things that are really productive for you. I know my mom used to go out and work in the garden when the kids were going off to school or doing some other things. She'd just go out in the backyard, and there was a huge tree in our backyard that she would sit not far from, and she had her plants, and she'd go out and play in her garden, or not so much play, but, you know, work on her garden. And that was her productivity point. She'd get up early in the morning And after she got everybody kind of situated or got the food ready for whatever it is they were going to eat and do, she spent a lot of her time out in the backyard, and it was so tranquil and beautiful. And I remember when I went to a friend of mine's home in Illinois, around the St. Louis area, actually East St. Louis, Illinois, they had an outdoor deck, and we used to sit out there and have a cup of coffee and chill in the morning, and she'd send our kids off to school and stuff like that again, or her son was older, he'd head out for work, and we'd sit there and just discuss things. And again, finding that one little level of starting your day off is your circle of productivity. So if you wrote that down, that was point one. And, of course, point two, what your dreams and desires have to do with what it is you want to do. Point number three was the maze of energy from productivity. That means that maze that's going to give you everything that you need to deal with. And inside that maze are the elements of things that you know will help you gain the strength, the wisdom, and the direction to deal with your level of productivity. Now, number four was very interesting to me. For me, I remember waking up and or during the day, I used to read it looked like a pink newspaper, and I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, it was called the Financial Times, and I used to really like reading that. It's an international paper, and I think it comes out of England, but it was based on the financial picture of the European nations, and it was in, like I said, an overseas newspaper. But I used to read that every day, and I enjoyed reading the Financial Times. So I put as point number four, maybe reading on your Kindle or your Nook or getting your audio books to play or one of the local or international newspapers or a hardback. That could be the start of your productivity in the morning, maybe reading some financial reports, just getting your day energized in your circle. Now, if you're not into the financial news, and hopefully you don't do a lot of the gossip columns, but if you do, just having that to start your day off with, I guess will energize you knowing what the Kardashians did or what's happening in the movies. I think that I guess that's important for some people. But whatever it is, like I say, for me, for the people that don't want to read the hardbacks, having that Kindle with them in the morning and that cup of coffee or that cup of juice or whatever it is. But we got to get you to understand where you start with your circle of productivity, which means that for the friends of mine that are running nonprofit organizations, that means getting up in the morning, having a plan, and looking at their daily reports and how they're going to attack their day. So for the women that have children, it's the same principle, knowing that your circle of productivity starts with knowing you're going to drop Tamika off at the soccer game or the cheerleading practice. You're going to drop off your son at school. You're going to check on him during the day if you have to hit that school. And then when you come out of the productivity stage or for those few moments that you're there inside the school, the next step is writing those things down, kind of getting you a mental chart. Now, it doesn't always mean you have to write them down on a sheet of paper. Sometimes you could just have a little tape recording in your car or use your cell phone. It has a recorder on it. And just kind of get used to talking about your day or what you can consider like a little diary. You could sit down and just kind of scan out what it is you did. And you'd be surprised at the end of your productivity day, you take a look at those notes and you say, well, you know what, I hadn't really finished some of this stuff, or I did finish it, or I didn't know I thought like that, or I felt like that. So that's something that we really need to look at when we're talking about a circle of productivity. It's all about trying to balance your life. Doesn't mean you're always going to balance it, but it means you're trying to get into a space and time and situation that you know makes a lot more sense and you feel more productive. Now, number five was, what thoughts come to you more than others? And we wanted you to list them in between 1 and 10. And if one thought showed up six times versus the other thoughts, or whatever the issue was, you kind of said, this issue has popped up over and over again, and I need some solution to this, or I need to let it go because I've already solved it. Sometimes we will take an issue, and even though we have the answer to it and we know we need to call the bank or do whatever it is we want to do, we keep replaying it in our mind like as if we don't have the answer. And that's because we're struggling with the answer that we have, which means that in the productivity circle, we need to say, okay, is this the proper answer for this, or is this not the proper answer? Because when you're going over it time and time again, even though you said at 2 o'clock you're going to call the bank or you're going to take care of whatever it is, and you still quite feel or you feel a little unsure, then you're saying to yourself, okay, out of the 1 through 10, this one issue keeps popping up more so than any of the others, and I really need to feel that I've addressed it and make some clarity to that, or back it up and say, you know what, I thought I really had the answer to this, but I'm going to put it off till tomorrow because I don't have an answer. Then you could either contact the person, the friend, the relationship, say, you know what, I thought I was going to be able to do so-and-so or think it out clearly. I just don't have an answer on it yet. So can I get till tomorrow? Or you could talk to yourself in the mirror. Hey, I thought I had an answer. I was going to drive to the store and pick up some juice, but you know what? Actually, I thought about it. I got enough juice. I could put that off for a minute. Now, I'm just throwing that out there. It doesn't have to be juice. It could, like I say, be anything. But between the 1 and 10, if you write down and say, these are the 10 issues that I've got for today, and one of them pops up 3 times or 4 times, then you're kind of getting used to saying, okay, this is something I really need to take a look at. And number 7 is going to be your dreams. Are your subconscious thoughts really working for you or against you? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to read a little bit from what some of the experts out there had to say about dreams. But we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to check my phone lines. And when we come back, we're going to discuss a few more things. And yes, we're going to be playing a lot of PSAs about autism. I just took a look at some of that stuff, and I kind of want to get that message out there. So a lot of the times the PSAs that I pick are, they're kind of based on some of the things I'm thinking about or wondering how many more things can I be involved in that can help people. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure.
Autism. 20 years ago, 5 in 10,000 children were diagnosed. Today, it's 1 in every 110. That's a 600% increase. While the thought of autism can be terrifying to parents, there is hope through early intervention. Our task was to put autism on parents' radars so they could take the necessary action for an early diagnosis. The concept was to compare the odds of a parent's hopes and dreams for their child, like becoming a top fashion designer or an Olympic skier, with the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism. From there, it expanded to a campaign about some kids who did realize their parents' dreams to become famous, people who beat incredible odds to become successful, and also had a child diagnosed with autism. We did this to show parents that if it could happen to celebrities, it could happen to anyone. We told the stories of a wide range of celebrities, from Toni Braxton, a 6-time Grammy Awards winner, and Ernie Els, a 2-time U.S. Open champion, to NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray and world-renowned fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger. The TV took us through a journey of their lives and the odds of their achievement, juxtaposed with the odds of having a child diagnosed with autism. The Autism Awareness Campaign consistently received strong donated media support, reaching nearly $287 million from April 2006 to March 2011. In 2010 alone, the campaign ranked number 1 in donated media when compared to all active Ad Council campaigns, and has received multiple awards, including Ogilvy, Addy, Andy, Effies, Cannes, and Clio. Since the campaign launch, parents are increasingly thinking, talking, and getting information about autism. In fact, parents who have seen or heard the Odds campaign are 160% more likely than those who have not to be aware of the high prevalence of autism. Finally, these parents are 55% more likely to think about autism as it relates to their own children, and 93% more likely to recognize at least one key sign of autism. Autism Speaks has spoken, and parents are listening.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and I am drinking some warm tea because it is kind of chilly in Washington. And I had to laugh the other day because my brother has a daughter that I am just wild about. And she was like, oh, my Uncle Dodd gets to travel the world and go everywhere. And then I got an email from a friend of mine who works for the casino. She's in HR. We've been friends for, I guess, 15 years. And I remember this, she's a polished young lady. She's moving to Iowa, so I want to send a shout-out to Quita Hewitt. She is the assistant director for HR at the Hollywood Casino in Mississippi, and she's leaving, going to Iowa. And so I told her I'd come down there and see her, and she could come to Chicago and visit me. And so it's just so nice that you could just travel the United States when you feel like it and just say, okay, I'll be here and I'll be there. But we have been friends for a long time, and I've always encouraged her that she was going to be the best of her field, and she's done that. She has a great life and a great future, and I want to send my salute to her, and also she's a friend of mine, so I want to congratulate her on becoming that HR director. So I guess when I go down there to Iowa and I need a job, I can get a job at Iowa at the casinos. I don't know. But anyway, I wanted to share that little bit of information with you. But living in a circle of positivity. Now, remember we were talking about dreams, and we're going to read you a little bit of what the experts or supposed experts say, because sometimes I have to wonder about the experts, but it's still going to be up to you to decide on what you think your dreams mean and what your subconscious thoughts are trying to tell you. But we'll start off and let you get an idea of what they're saying. It says, remember that one is a better expert at interpreting your dreams than you are. So again, they're saying no one is a better expert at interpreting your dreams than yourself. In analyzing your dreams, you can learn about your deep secrets and hidden feelings. Every detail, even the most minute element in your dream, is important and must be considered when analyzing your dreams. Each symbol represents a feeling, a mood, a memory, or something from your unconsciousness. Look closely at the characters that are in your dream, whether they're animals, objects, places, emotions, and even color and numbers that are depicted in your dreams. Even the most trivial symbols can be significant. Now, when I looked at that, I said to myself, okay, that's kind of going along with what I say, because sometimes I dream in red or green, and it doesn't mean I'm seeing the Wizard of Oz or Willy Wonka or something. It just means I probably had some bad tea or something. I don't know. But you do need to pay attention to that, and kind of if you can't write it down, then try to do what I call a mental thought, a mental picture of what you dreamed, and kind of just go back and forth with it in your mind. And then maybe even tell a friend of yours, say, you know, I had a weird dream last night. Kind of talk it out so you will remember it. And if they're close and personal, your boyfriend, a lover, or a husband, or whatever it is, even your brother or sister, if you've got a good relationship with them, or your mom, or your dad, anybody, just kind of mention, say, you know what, I had a real, real strange dream or a funny dream, and it had this and it had that. So that was something that they were kind of mentioning. Now, on another page, it said, since ancient times, the Greeks and the Egyptians, and of course the Egyptians are out of Africa, believed that some people had the power to draw meaning from dreams. And as long ago as the second century, works were being created on how to interpret our dreams. In modern times, we understand better that the world of dreams is simply another reality with which can be interacted. And yet, as we grow older, it can be all too easy to dismiss the value of dreaming. Now, what they're talking about is when you're young, your dreams are full of energy and vividness and all kinds of imagination-type thoughts. And you seem to lose a lot of that desire to have those kind of dreams because you kind of push your thoughts and wishes to the back of your mind, because now you're saying, I'm too old for this. People are going to laugh if I say I want to be a clown. Let's say you wanted to be in the circus all your life, and you're an executive, And you come home one day and you tell your wife or your girlfriend, I'm going to join the circus. And she's going like, what? You're going to do what? And you're like, I always thought I was funny. I want to join the circus. And maybe rather than them saying, well, that's stupid, how about saying, well, maybe not the circus, but I'm about being a comedian. You know, I find so many people that are just naturally funny. And if they came home to you one day or called you up on the phone and said, you know, I'm thinking about being in the circus, being a comedian. Now, on one hand, we see all the comedians, like Dave Chappelle and a lot of others, we laugh at them. But they're human beings, and they had to have a desire and thought from somewhere. Well, in writing or being a comedian or whatever it is we do in those creative fields, we find a level of comfortability where we can be silly, be ourselves, and people laugh and they enjoy that. Now, when we actually want to be a comedian or tell people I'm going to join the circus, then the reality sets in and people kind of snuff your idea. So automatically you start saying to yourself, well, I better not say that because now everybody's going to be kind of laughing or they're not going to take me serious and they don't see that as a career. But I'm telling you that if that's what you decide to do, to let your dreams interpret where you want to go in life, then to me, that's something you should do. So we're looking at this for a minute, and I want you to give that some real serious thought, because that's something that you really need to think about. Now, as the article said, and yet, as we grow older, it can be all too easy to dismiss the value of dreaming, especially in an age given to sidelining anything that even touches on mysticism or Freudianism or overtones of that. Now, I don't agree with that statement because I don't think dreams have to be mystic. And I don't think that everybody deals with, of course, I studied a lot of the Freudian theories and the Marquise de Sade, because in the schools that I went to and the people I associated with, we read a lot of books. And, of course, you got involved, especially with the Marquise de Sade or what Freud was trying to say. And that's the philosophy that you're taught and the viewpoints that you need to see, because it gives you the idea, like when you see a painting, a Freudian painting would have some deep interpretation to it. So you learn that in school, to look in the picture and see this deep interpretation. But it's amazing, because when I was coming through Washington and some friends of mine were talking to me, and I've seen it in Chicago, I've seen the Picasso, and I'm like, well, I don't know what deep interpretation I'm supposed to get from that. It looks like a piece of junk to me. But again, as you're growing and you hear these things being taught to you, when you dream, you're actually replaying what somebody said to you. So you say, okay, if I'm dreaming a Freudian dream where a young lady runs into the restaurant and everybody has on tuxedos and she's got on lingerie, and you're like, oh, you know, what was in my dream? What was I thinking? Or she's riding a horse and we're sitting here at the dinner table and the horse goes through the dream. So you kind of don't want to talk about it because people say, well, what kind of dreams are you having? Are you on some drugs or something? But the imagination is running wild with you at that minute. But there is some messages in that dream. So, again, I don't always agree with being able to touch on mysticism or the Freudian overtones. But nevertheless, dreaming deserves to hold a special place in our lives because it is an important part of who we are, providing us with signposts and different perspectives on our walking and waking problems, all offered to us nightly, free of charge, if we only care to stop and take note of them. And that's what I was talking to you about earlier. You have to take note of your dreams. So they were saying that you get the actual consultation of a psychiatrist or with anybody you want to do or advice. You get it free of charge through your dreams. But your dreams are activated by your thought pattern. So it's either something you thought of before, something you want to think about, or something you wish to do. And it does hold a special place. So I hear a lot of people talking about dreams in the sense of saying people are dream stealers, but they're only relating the dream to the desire to go out and do something. So they say that when you decide to open up that restaurant and you really can't cook, they say, well, how are you going to open up a restaurant? And you say, well, I can do it because I've learned how to fry fried chicken or whatever it is, or I got a recipe idea. And they go like, well, that won't work. But I think we take dreams like we do a lot of other things, and we place them in one category. So when we talk about dreams and desires, we kind of tie them together. And then when people don't automatically agree with us on what we call having a dream, which means that I want to go out and conquer the world, then we say, okay, well, people didn't support my dreams. But now you've got living in the circle of productivity. What do you actually see as a dream, or what does it mean to you, or how many categories of dreams are there? Are there the dreams for your desires? Are there the dreams for thoughts? And that means that you got to break them down into two places. Are you having a dream because you're thinking about something and you want a solution to it, or you're just overanalyzing it? Or are you having a dream because you dream of going to fly kites and you want to be a pilot or something? So I think that now, taking that article and reading through it, dreams are important. They're very important. But to me, now you have different categories of dreaming. Are you dreaming to produce something, or and it's a hidden desire, or are you dreaming because you ate some pickles? I know lately I've been eating a lot of pickles lately, and sometimes I wonder, I've been eating pickles and peanut butter. I hope I'm not pregnant or nothing. Oh, that's too funny. That is just too funny. But anyway, I really love sweet pickles, and it has nothing to do with being pregnant or getting somebody pregnant. The issue is I love sweet pickles, and if I could eat jars of them, I would eat them now. So probably when you go to sleep, your digestive system may be saying, you ate too many darn pickles. That's probably why you're tossing and turning and having bad dreams. So I think you're going to have to be careful when you talk about dreams. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I've got 10 more minutes to go, and it's 818-691-7395 is the numbers you can call. And we are talking about the circle of productivity. And this part, we're talking about dreams and getting you to take a serious look, because they say the American public especially doesn't really give a lot of value to dreams, whether it's dreams in your sleep or dreams to become the president of the United States. But we think that dreams are kind of a children's thing. And so we don't give it much value. But that's the way we're looking at things right now. And again, we've got 10 more minutes to the show, and we're going to play a quick PSA, and I'll be right back.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to esrb.org.
Siempre me fijo en las clasificaciones y en la descripción del contenido en las cajas de videojuegos. Pero como a veces quiero más detalles, me encantan estos nuevos resúmenes, pues me dan una descripción más a fondo que me ayuda a decidir si los juegos son apropiados para mis hijos o no. Los resúmenes son gratis y los puedo leer en mi smartphone o en línea.
Para más información sobre clasificaciones de videojuegos y resúmenes, visite esrb.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to Don S. McClure, and you're on the Don S. McClure Show. Now, when I ended before the PSA, one of the notes that the professional said was, interpreting dreams is for everyone, not just those already attuned to spending time exploring the psychic and subconscious self. Decoding dreams can enable you to gain access to a wealth of intuitive wisdom. Now, out of all the stuff that I've read, and there's a website that says, order your online dream analysis, dreams can really help you become better and gain access to a wealth of intuitive wisdom. To me, that's what a dream is. A lot of times, if you haven't eaten bad food or ice cream or whatever, then it's not too late. Sometimes those dreams can actually help you decide on what it is you want to do. So, my clock is saying I only have 3 more minutes for my show. It has been a great hour, and I have truly enjoyed it, and I didn't play as much music this week. And next week we're going to be discussing my book, To Have a Friend, because that's going to be coming out soon, and also my book, The Gods and the Beginning of Life. But my shows are always about positivity and trying to get you to reevaluate or evaluate some of your situations. And as I talk sometimes, I think about myself and some of the things that I do and interact with. So I love the shows. I love my producers, and I want to thank them for being in my corner and my sponsors and people that always support what I do and the great friendships that I've made over the years. But we've only got a few more minutes for the show. And if you want to get that last-minute call in, you can at 818-691-7395. A lot of times I do get a lot of emails after the show, and I also get a lot of IMs, so I look forward to answering those the following week. But tonight, we want you to think about dreams and the power that dreams have, and living in that circle of productivity, which starts at 8 a.m. or 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. or even 11 o'clock in the daytime when you get your day started. And if you're on the night shift, it's when you start at night. So again, it's one of the great things that you can do. I've enjoyed it tonight. I'm going to say, as I always say every week, let me find one of my songs that I'm going to play on my show. And again, I want you to enjoy life because that's all you have. And it's my 28th show, and I've enjoyed it. And I will see you next Friday. I just hit the wrong button. The wrong song. Oh, my God. Oh, God, you're crazy. Anyway, enjoy life. It's all yours. I'm just kidding. It's all like a thing. I just told you about the show. I'm not a big fan. This is my main guy. I'm still here. And good night, everyone.
Meant to cut me down, and if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown.